Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Judge, jury, executioner. Okay, that got really dark fast. Now back to His Honor Judge Dan Jacobs, Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
All right, directly out to the hotline, my former mentor from the golden age of sports journalism and sportscasters here in our city, the one and only Les Shapiro. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Judge Dan Jacobs.
I'm doing great. Not that you asked, but hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, I'm down in Scottsdale, spending some time down here, and I'm melting a little bit. We've got temperatures are about 115 degrees this week, but other than that, doing just great.
Why on earth? Well, I guess you put it out there over on social media when you left, which kind of shocked everybody. We're like, what? Where's Les going? But you decided to go where you migrate to the desert, huh?
Well, I prefer hot to cold. It's really that simple. And it's a little hotter than I thought it would be, but I still prefer it to walking outside in, you know, 15-degree weather with a foot of snow on the ground. So that's primarily the reason I came down here. And I am still spending a lot of time in Denver. I go back and forth quite a bit. Well, until COVID hit, I was going back and forth quite a bit. But still have my roots in Denver, just planting some new roots in Scottsdale.
Are you scared to death being out there right now? Are you just bunkered down with all that's going on with the pandemic?
Well, I've got some lung cancer,
right,
and my immune system is down somewhat. So, yeah, I'm being very, very careful, especially with the way it's spiking down here.
Right.
So I'm not going outside a lot. When I do, it's to walk by myself. It's to hike a mountain. It's to hit golf balls on the range, whatever. I'm trying to stay away from going into grocery stores and going into restaurants.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're doing well down there. We miss
Thanks.
You, of course. So big news, Mike Shanahan going into the Broncos Ring of Fame. I wanted to get you on. You had great relationships. Again, this was kind of the heyday, the golden age of, you know, things around here sports-wise. You had a great relationship with Mike Shanahan, I'm sure. Tell us your favorite, your thoughts on him going into the Ring of Fame and maybe one of your favorite stories or two of Mike Shanahan.
Well, going into the Ring of Fame was a deadlock cinch. I'm just sorry it took a little longer than everybody thought it should. But, you know, the Broncos wanted to make sure that Mike was done coaching and that when he did go into the Ring of Fame, he wasn't coming back as the coach of the San Diego Chargers for the ceremony.
Right.
So, you know, that we knew it was inevitable. I mean, the man gave the franchise its first two Super Bowl victories. But as far as anecdotes go, I mean, I've got a million of them. Mike and I spent a lot of time together when he was coaching, and we spend a lot of time together now still. Probably my favorite anecdotes are just sitting around watching football with Mike on Sundays, which I do quite often, or Thursday nights or Sunday nights or Monday nights. Just the number of phone calls he gets, Dan, is unbelievable. And he gets them from everybody, from head coaches, assistant coaches, current players, former players. I will go over to his house, and sitting in the middle of the living room, he'll be going over film with a college coach or a high school coach and teaching him how to install the running game. So it's been a tremendous education for me watching all of this and also listening to his conversations on Sundays with people from all around the league.
Yeah. What was your recollection of one of the things we're doing a thing. I think you were a guest on one of them. The Mile High Memories podcast we're doing here on the station.
Yeah, I did the 1990 CU National Championship.
Yeah, game. Right. So man, I'll ask you about that in just a minute, but so one of them we had Jim Armstrong on talking about the John Elway 90s era and that rift between Reeves and Shanahan and just how nasty that got. Dan Reeves threw a newspaper at, Mike Shanahan. What was your recollection of that time?
Well, it all centered upon Dan's relationship with John Elway and, you know, they butted heads quite a bit. Dan wanted John to play on offense the way Dan wanted him to play instead of fitting the offense to John's skill set. So when Mike came in, he originally acted as a nice buffer between the two of them. The problem was, you know, Dan would get a little paranoid especially during losing seasons when things weren't going well, and believed that Mike was insubordinate or, you know, trying to do stuff surreptitiously. He and John behind Dan's back. In fact, at one time, he fired him because he felt John and Mike were scripting plays and Dan didn't believe in scripting plays. So,
right.
That was it primarily. You know, Dan was a tough customer. Dan wanted to do things his way or it was the highway. And he never gave credit to his assistant coaches. And I mean, from a media standpoint, he had little respect for the media if you weren't a through and through football person. So Dan was tough. And I think Pat Bowlen found an excuse when they had a few bad seasons in a row. Dan found an excuse Pat found an excuse to get rid of Dan, wanted Mike, but they couldn't work it out at the beginning, so they went with Wade Phillips for a couple of years, and then Pat finally brought Mike back when the circumstances lined up better.
Can you tell us, now you were the one that broke the story about Joe Ellis, the Kyle Shanahan interview, or you did the report, right, about Kyle Shanahan looking direct.
I had a lot of unique information, yeah.
Yes, which was why I loved about you. You were one of the last, you know, journalists out there that developed relationships and would break stories based on things. Now a lot of it is just, you know, whatever the PR people spit out, then that gets reported. Not a lot of, you know, deep digging. But this was one of those instances where you reported there was an interview. Kyle Shanahan interviewed. Joe Ellis was in the room. And Kyle looked directly at Joe Ellis and asked the question, would my father be welcome in the building if I got this job? Tell us about the rift between Joe Ellis and Mike Shanahan, and is it going to have any impact when Shanny comes back for this Ring of Fame ceremony?
I don't think it'll have any impact. In fact, Joe Ellis is the one who made the call to Mike and told him about the Ring of Fame. And it was a very civil conversation. But there was a problem back then because Mike had a lot of power in the organization.
Yes.
And Joe was the COO at the time. And really, Mike was running so many facets of the organization, not just on the football side, but of course he had a lot of sway on the business side as well, simply because of all the success he'd had. It was working. And, you know, the story is that Pat Bowlen fired Mike Shanahan. I don't know that Mike would agree with that. I think Mike might feel that that Joe Ellis had a lot to say about that decision. And I think that's the basis of why there has been some acrimony through the years between the two men. But things have settled down quite a bit. As I said, Joe was the one who graciously called Mike and, you know, told Mike he was going to the Ring of Fame. And the two of them get along now just fine.
Yeah, interesting. Although I wasn't that long ago that Shanahan decided to leak the fact that Joe Ellis stepped in and didn't allow him to be the new head coach of the Broncos after the first year of Vance Joseph's regime. So I can't imagine it's too rosy between those two. Is it Les?
Well, I don't think they're going on vacation together, Dan.
Right, yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, one's not going to invite the other over for Thanksgiving dinner either. But you know what, that's what happens. I mean, those are two very high powered people who have had a lot of success individually and collectively, and things sometimes go sideways. It's understandable to me. That's what happens in power structures. But again, as I said, they're okay now. They are okay. And Joe, you know, obviously will be there when Mike goes into the Ring of Fame next, not this coming season, but next season. Things are okay now.
Yeah. Speaking of Ring of Fames, I've been talking about this. You don't really hear, I think remember there was a little bit of buzz when Jimmy Johnson got in because, you know, Jimmy is kind of borderline candidate, although he's in the Hall of Fame now, about Mike Shanahan. Is that just one of those things that eventually will get traction and happen? Or how come we're not, or not? Like, why are we not hearing more buzz about him as a Hall of Fame candidate?
Well, I think you're going too soon. I think the Broncos as an organization need to get behind it. I think they're ready to do that. That's the indication I'm getting. Look, Mike's resume is every bit as good in most categories as Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson's. In fact, some of his numbers exceed theirs. You've got guys like Tony Dungy and Marv Levy in the Hall of Fame, and Mike's numbers absolutely exceed theirs. You know what I think hurt him a lot? The situation in Washington with RG3 and Dan Snyder. He's been exonerated, and he's been proven right. He was right in that situation. But I think it hurt him for a good 3, 4, 5 years. You know what else hurts him, Dan? He's not a TV guy. I mean, Mike doesn't go on all these shows. Mike isn't doing what Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher are doing and Tony Dungy, going on network TV every weekend. So, you know, he's not keeping his profile raised very high. I think that's helped a lot of people get into the Hall of Fame, because when they're in your face every weekend, you keep getting reminded by them and their colleagues on the set how good they were as head coaches. Mike just doesn't do that stuff. Mike would love to go into the Hall of Fame, but he's not going to campaign for himself. So I think it's got to be done by the Broncos as an organization, and I think eventually he'll get in. His resume certainly dictates that. Wouldn't you agree?
I would, yeah, I would. I mean, the only thing going against him is he had two failed stints as a head coach and one rather successful stint as a head coach, so that could be used against him. Although there are, you know, arguments that he in L.A. and in Washington, he had two of the most meddlesome owners in the history of sports. So you can give him a kind of a pass on that. But yeah, I would say he should certainly be up there. Now, whether or not he makes it in or not, I'm not sure. But I would say he's worthy, right?
Yeah, I would too, especially when you consider so many of the things, the criteria that get people in, things like winning. Well, he was a winner. He's got two Super Bowls on the resume too. Innovation. You know, he took that West Coast offense and improved upon it to the point where everybody around the league, you know, is doing it the way he was doing it. And coaching, how about coaching trees? We talk about that all the time. Look at the guys on his coaching tree that are now head coaches in the NFL. Plus, here's a stat. This one blows me away. If you ask me the one stat about Mike that is more impressive than the others, you know, a lot of people talk about quarterback whisperers. Well, who whispered better than him when it came to quarterbacks? I mean, any quarterback who played for Mike 2 years or longer went to the Pro Bowl. And I'm not talking about huge names. Of course, yeah, John Elway and Steve Young, yeah, big names. But quarterbacks he sent to the Pro Bowl, Jake Plummer, Brian Greasy, Jake Cutler, RG3, and RG3 did it as a rookie with six new starters on offense. The guy couldn't throw from the pocket. So no other head coach comes even close to that stat. You know what? The only kind of stat that reminds me of that is Joe Gibbs winning Super Bowls with three different starting quarterbacks.
Sure.
But other than that, I mean, who was better with quarterbacks than Mike? Six quarterbacks to the Pro Bowl. That's crazy.
Yeah. Last one, I'm going to ask you to shed some light on something. It's from the Washington regime. So Les, when I look at Mike Shanahan, I always view it through the sense of what I knew from when I was covering him, which was he was a complete and total authoritarian. He had control of every detail, every facet of everything. And then you go to Washington where he said, well, I want final say. And relatively early on, they go through the RG3 thing. And later he says, he was basically forced to draft RG3, and my immediate reaction was, how could that possibly be true? Mike Shanahan wouldn't make anybody do anything that he didn't want to do, but now it's looking like maybe that was the case. Can you shed some light on what actually happened?
Yeah, it was the case. They wanted him to draft RG3. Dan Snyder absolutely wanted him to draft. And that's why they covered their butts, Mike and his staff covered their butts by drafting Kirk Cousins in the fourth round, because they weren't sure that RG3 could play. They didn't like what they saw on tape from RG3. He was a read option quarterback who thought he was a drop back passer, and he wasn't. And you know how important third down is in this league. And RG3 just couldn't get it done on third down. So, yeah, RG3 was forced upon Mike. They had grave doubts about RG3. RG3 even said it. I was drafted by a head coach that didn't want me and by an organization that didn't believe in me. So yeah, that's exactly what happened. And, you know, it turned out that Mike was right, especially after Dan Snyder started meddling and RG3's parents started meddling. And RG3 thought that he was, in Mike's words, he thought he was Aaron Rodgers. And he wasn't.
Right.
So, you know, again, Mike was exonerated in that case. And I think, you know, the years have borne that out. And I think that will not any longer work against him when it comes to his legacy and his Hall of Fame credentials.
Good stuff, my friend. My mom still thinks you're handsome as ever.
Thanks, Dan. Is your mom single?
She's not. She's happily married.
Oh, okay.
She's living on the side of a mountain.
Well, so am I.
Yeah, that's right. hey, thanks. I've always appreciated your mentorship and your friendship throughout the years. over half my life, Les. Can you believe that?
I know, crazy. And I enjoyed having you as an intern and then working with you through the years, Dan. Really appreciate it.
All right, thanks for coming on. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
Les Shapiro in the searing heat of, I believe, Scottsdale, he said. Appreciate him coming on the program. We'll talk a little bit more about that next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.